Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Redmen TV. It's podcast time. I'm Steve Hoare, joined by Ross Chanley and Jay Pearson for this one today. And we've got absolutely tons to talk about. We've got loads of games coming up for the Reds thick and fast. And we've also got a contract situation, but it isn't Mo Salah. It's Sadio Mane. Neil Jones wrote an article about it a few days ago. We're going to touch base on that as well. Got plenty for guys. Thanks very much for joining me. Before we start, as usual then, talking about the footy, we've got some kickoff questions. But the first one, to be fair, is Liverpool and football related. Anyone who's watching along, by the way, get your answers in the live chat as well. Or if you're watching as one of our Club Legend subscribers, if you use the Discord chat, you guys can get involved too. First question, Ross, I'll come to you with is, what Liverpool player would you like to get if you were doing Secret Santa, and what would you buy him?
I've had a good think about this.
Okay.
And there's several players that I would like to pick, but I'm going to go with Naby Keita. I'm going to get him two presents. One of these, because marketing. I set myself up
for that. For the audio listeners, yeah. Ross is flaunting the Naby jumper.
But also, I'm going to buy him, if he can get one on eBay or some other site. Remember the first, not AirPods. What's the fucking call? These be called?
Headphones?
No, the fucking not iPhone. The fucking thing before. It's gone.
iPod.
There you okay. Go. But old school, because he has the AirPods. It's like fucking shin pads.
Right, okay.
I'm two of the old school iPods.
iPods, yeah.
iPods, the brick ones, so he doesn't get injured all the time.
Could you not just buy him shin pads?
Yeah.
No, I'm sticking with the theme.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's not as funny, is it?
No, but
it would have been funny if I remember what a fucking AirPod.
Yeah,
AirPods,
I was going to say, it wasn't that funny anyway.
Was it not?
No.
Okay. I'm about to navigate a shin pad so he doesn't get injured.
ho, ho, ho.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Jay, who are you buying and what are you buying him?
I'm buying Jurgen Klopp a compilation of the greatest heavy metal anthems of all time.
And that jumper.
And this jumper, obviously. Yeah, because Mo's his favourite player.
Oh, this is...
There we go.
This turned into an infomercial.
I'm not against it.
Do my job.
Sorry, gang.
I'm not against it.
We're going to get shouted at. So I'm buying him a compilation of heavy metal tracks because I'm a big heavy metal fan, so it'd be nice to see what we have in common that way.
Do you think he's into heavy metal?
He absolutely is into heavy metal. He's got to be.
You think so, wouldn't you?
He's got to be.
Looking in the comment section, I've got my answers, but I'm going to go in the comments. So Liam Lauren says, he'd buy Trent a captain's armband so we can get used to being the Liverpool captain for the future. He could just wear it around the house.
He would, wouldn't you?
Just model it, get his biceps the right size, make sure it fits. And then
John Cena style.
Buy him a swimming armband, just write C on it, just to be cheap.
Trent walking around the house with one armband on as well. And then, see, I was thinking, and I was on a similar vein to you, but more so with, I'm thinking Curtis Jones, a nice Pirates eye patch. Obviously,
of course.
I don't know what he's wearing now, but I think he'd look like a skull and crossbones hat as well.
Because and that jumper.
And my
Club Believers jumper.
On sale now. We'll get to that later. I think if he's going to have to wear an eye patch anyway, he might as well look fucking cool doing it, and Pirates look cool.
Mm.
Maybe even the whole outfit, you get the peg leg, the parrot, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so, like, you can go full Captain Jack.
Yeah.
Captain Curtis.
Why Pirates go Pirates?
Why?
Because they are.
You've redeemed yourself.
Thank you very much.
You've redeemed yourself from your horrendous joke.
Anyway. Argos.
Old Bod says, I'll buy Mo a fountain pen so he can go and get that contract. Top of all from Old Bod, well done. And then he can lend it to Sadio, he says, as well. So yeah, we'll cross that bridge later. Yes,
that's a real answer, isn't it?
That's a good answer, but I mean, again, I don't think he hasn't signed his contract. He can't find the pen. I think there's more to it than that, but who knows, maybe, at least what we're doing, if we give him the pen, we're at least ruling out that that is the reason.
Yes.
It's one less reason. If he's like that, he's like, oh, I can't find a pen. I can't, like, if you ask a girl for your number back when we were young, before mobile phones, and she'd be like, I haven't got a pen, sorry.
You always said that?
Yeah, a lot.
You got a pen behind the bar?
Yeah.
No. Can't get you.
Yeah, I remember once being out on County Road, and I'm asking a girl, can I have a number? And she went, no, I haven't got a pen. And I ran to the Argos.
To steal a little blue one.
To steal a little blue pen, and came back and she fucked off. So I got right done. I'll take that hint. Anyway, yeah, so fair enough. And then the second question, I don't know any of you guys were aware of the social media, Ross, but last night one of the Twitter spaces went off. It was absolutely booming. It was a sing your dialect. Basically, anyone could jump on, sing a line of a song with the host. A lot of famous people were in the chat as well. Declan Rice was in there at one point. I was in there big time, obviously. me and Nigel Farage were in there.
I can't believe how quickly it blew up.
Yeah, rugby players, footy players, the whole world. When I was on there, I didn't sing, obviously I had no chance, but Lethal Bizzle sang one of his songs, or rapped a bit of one of his songs, as you put it. So, if you were in that Twitter space last night, Ross, and you were asked to perform a song, what song would you have sung?
Do I have to go along with the dialects? I don't think there is a Wool song, is there?
You can be you, mate. You sing whatever you want.
Do you know what I'll probably go with? I'll probably go with a bit of Morrissey's depressing it is, but I can do quite a good Morrissey impression, which I'm not going to do here because I don't want the show to get demonetized for a copyright strike.
Yeah. Morrissey's probably, he needs the dough, doesn't he? Isn't he having a few issues anyway? You'd be doing him a favour. Okay, let us know in the chat room, in the live chat, rather, what you guys would pick as well. What would you have sung? If you were in there and you happened to sing a song as well, feel free to let us know.
It's also quite easy to write a Morrissey song. It's just all the depressing, isn't it?
You just mumble along, little melody, you'll be fine. Yeah. You'll do okay. Jay, I'm guessing it's going to be rock, heavy metal.
Yeah, probably. Actually, do you know what? I'm going to go new metal. I'm going to go Limp Bizkit break stuff because the lyrics to that, I just don't like Twitter spaces. So I'd just be screaming that. Yeah, that's what it'd be.
Some fella sang Sweet Caroline.
I fucking hate that song.
Yeah. It's horrible, isn't it?
There was a bit of Shaggy, It Wasn't Me, which I appreciate that. And I think the lad who sang had his girlfriend in the background going, Wasn't Me. That was quite good.
I might do my Party 6 Super Bass by Nicki Minaj because I can do that. As much as I love heavy metal, I can actually embarrassingly do that. So I'll probably just throw that out there. Yeah.
Mine
in
would
the mirror
be,
to yourself.
Well, do it one day. I'll show you.
Mine would be My Humps. By the
black. Oh, your lovely lady lumps.
Yeah. Oh, Shakira, my hips don't lie.
Yeah.
Either way, it's going to be about my voluptuous body.
But is that not a waste, though? Because we could only hear you do that on Twitter spaces. And, you know,
I'd want to see the music video.
I want to see you in the wrestling ring or whatever it was.
I'd video it
in
as well.
In the chapped leather pants.
What else? TikTok. I'd put it on TikTok. Yeah. That's what the young people are doing.
TikTok.
Get it on TikTok. Yeah, so that's what I would definitely be doing. I would go for a bit of Shakira.
Maybe we should do a karaoke for the Christmas night out.
The Redmen Christmas party. Who do you think would be the best on karaoke?
Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. He's got such a good musical background, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, no, so it's brain, so Tom and Si, actually.
Well, Si can actually play instruments as well. Yeah. I think if you turned up to karaoke with an instrument, you're automatically a blurt. You can't rock up to a karaoke bar and just whip. Oh, am I singing? Am I? Oh, no. I just happen to have my guitar.
You can't have that.
Plus, Tom and Si would lose that guitar if we're on our Christmas night out.
They're not bringing a guitar with them, but I'm guessing they've got experience in
it. Or it would be sold when they run out of money to fund more alcohol purchases. Like, oh, my skin's got no dough. Buy me a guitar. Or they could busk with it. Say, Tom, get your guitar ready for the Christmas night out. Anyway, let's talk about some footy.
Yeah.
But first, I want to show everyone at home, we are 1 week away from the end of our 3 month offer on the Redmen Plus. I'll give you more details about that and how you can go and sign up and everything about it in a minute. But if you want to know what Redmen Plus is, have a watch or a listen of this.
Hey everyone, Mate here. Just a little insert from me to say that if you enjoy this podcast and the other podcast that we put out for free and you want more, then my word, you can have more on the redmentv.com. Go over there, sign up and get extra bonus shows from us each and every week, as well as a whole suite of video content, documentaries, features and interviews. But yes, you can also play those podcasts in your native podcasting app as well to have a seamless Redmen TV experience in your ears. The redmentv.com. Sign up there today.
I want to talk about Ross about the next couple of weeks, because it's an interesting week for Liverpool. Given now, when we looked at the calendar about 4 or 5 weeks ago, it looked really congested. It was like big games, like almost must-win games, a run of must-win games because the opposition were playing. The fact is, Liverpool boxed themselves off so quickly in the Champions League that in effect, two of our next five games are not, well, de facto meaningless. There's nothing riding on them for us. Obviously, there is for the opposition, but in the middle of those, there's a home game against Southampton, an away game against Everton, and an away game against Wolves, where you think they must win games. Yeah. So I suppose the first question is, like, Liverpool need to set themselves up for the Christmas period, because mm-hmm. everyone goes, oh, the Christmas period, it's busy, but we've still got to be in the race before we even get to that, you know, to the crux of it. So with that being said, Ross, and I know you spoke about this briefly on the build-up as well, but like, what significance, if any, is this Porto game? Is it a momentum builder, a momentum continuer, because we're coming off the back of an amazing result? Like, what's your overall thought process around this Porto game?
I am very much on the fence, which, you know, I'll get a sore arse for doing that. But yesterday I was like, the dead games, I'm not arsed. There's the fear of all the injuries that we've got. There's the fear of last season of the injuries. There's the fear of what happened to Diogo Jota and him getting injured in a meaningless game, which I still haven't let go. I don't want that to happen again, but I also understand the fact that when you talk about momentum and riding the crest of a wave and stuff like that, there's plenty of players in there that need game time, and we need to get back into fitness and for rhythm. But because it's so busy, I don't want people to put themselves into the red zone. I don't want them to get the probability of injury to go higher. I know I mentioned on the build-up for me since yesterday that Mo Salah never gets injured, which I know was stupid, and I don't apologise because it's not my fault. But, you know, if you're going to play him in a game, it's just a thing that's going to happen. If someone gets injured, it's going to be, I told you so. Do you know, why have you done that? It's stupid. And then what does that mean for those fixtures? Because we've got ourselves in a position in the Champions League where they don't matter. So we've worked hard and we've earned that. Why do we always want to go finish, like, get your games done quickly so you can rest and you can rotate and you've got the advantage? You've earned that.
Yeah.
Make the most of it. And then, like, because the league is so tight, because every Premier League game from game one is must win, right? Don't play Mo Salah against Porto. Don't play him. I get this nostalgic stuff. I saw someone on Twitter yesterday going, I'm sure the players want to play in the San Siro. I get that. But don't just take them, sit on a bench and soak up the atmosphere and whatever else. But for me personally, Klopp will do it. I think Klopp will go a lot stronger than most of us think or most of us would want to. But for me, it's have people 100% for Wolves, have them 100% for Southampton, just going absolutely dick Everton everywhere, because like they're in a bit of trouble at the minute. And then you start December on a good run then.
That's the thing, Jay. Like, I'll be honest, how you feel about this, I'll speak how I do. But like, I don't think if whatever happens against Porto, because I imagine regardless there will be changes. Like, there will be young players. I imagine Neco Williams definitely plays. Yeah. I imagine Tyler Morton definitely plays. Maybe you might get a Beck or a Bradley, or, you know, a Balghese or a Blair. Obviously, Gordon can't play. But so there will be changes. So I don't see that it would be a momentum killer regardless of the result, because it's not Liverpool's team. Like, I would almost see the run being Arsenal, Saints, Everton, Wolves. Like, is that how you feel about it? Like, I get that you want to build ahead of steam, but I'm not sure how much I would put into the portal, because it's not going to be Liverpool's team.
Absolutely, leapfrog it. That's the way in my mind I am. I'm not getting myself right up for it for tomorrow at the end of the day. You know, we'll be there at the ground absolutely having a good time, but it'll be a case of, okay, yeah, sound, let's get 3 points if we can. Well, there's that £2 million payday that people are talking about as well, but I want to see Morton, Bradley and Beck.
We don't spend that £2 million anyway, Jay.
Another conversation.
That argument does my head in, by the way. Not spending. Oh, there's money riding on
That's
it.
What I mean.
It pisses me off. I don't...
Well, Klopp said it, didn't he? He's like, because obviously after we qualified, he's like, well, there's meaningful games there with obviously money, but like what he says and what he thinks are two completely different things.
Talk
about momentum and the field goal factor and stuff. It's great if we beat Porto, but what happens on the off chance that someone who's significant, you know, in the midfield and front three in particular is where we're short, does get injured?
Don't want it to
What's the field goal factor then? What's more damaging?
They'd be like, oh, we'll sacrifice it. I'd rather have him fit than have £2 million quid. That'll be the next argument all over socials. So, but yeah, I'm the same as you, mate. I want to see a young side that are chomping at the bit to get on. I want to see Morton, Bradley, Beck, you know, sounds like a solicitor's that, doesn't it? Are you getting divorced, Morton, Bradley, Beck? I'm not divorced, by the way. Yeah. Not yet. I want to see that. I want to see that happening.
I have a number of you do.
Of course you can. You know where I live, you go around. Actually, no. Stop. But yeah, mate, just leapfrog it, crack on. It's all about the league. We need them points. We're 4 points behind Chelsea. We need to crack on.
And also, there's people like, again, depending whether they're fit or not, Saki needs game time. Oxlade-Chamberlain, I think we'll get a game. Divock Origi. There's plenty of players. Nat Phillips, Canate.
It's enough to beat Porto. Yeah, Keller. It's enough.
Yeah, I was looking here, so we've had a super chat rower from It's Crossbow, who says, I'd love to see Conor Bradley get more games. I'd be fine because he can play wing or fullback regardless. He can do both. Owen Beck's done similar. Neco Williams can do, I think there's enough there. And again, another chat here from our board again, who says, you know, it's probably more fun when we win with kids anyway. It's something different to watch. Yeah, I agree. Like, that Everton game was a bit fun.
Oh, it was class,
because it was, and to be fair, that was a meaningful game. The flip side, Ross, then, is I'm looking at what's to come. And that's the reason I'm with you on the Porto resting players. So I say, we go Saints, Everton, Wolves. If Liverpool want to be champions, they probably need 9 points. Yeah. Seven at the max. At the minimum, and that's depending on how everyone else does. Chelsea have got Juve at home this week. I think it's tonight, actually, as recorded. And then they go Man United at home, Watford away, West Ham away. And Manchester City have got West Ham at home, Steven Gerrard's Aston Villa as they're now known away, and Watford away. Like, again, both of those teams are excellent, and they are very much probably thinking the same, like, we can get 9 from there. But there are games. I could see Chelsea maybe dropping points at West Ham like we did. Man United, who knows, new manager bounce. Watford away, listen, I know Man United got to be there, but you'd expect Chelsea to go there and City to go there. But even then, City go to Villa, which won't be easy, I don't think. Get a resurgence. I think West Ham at home, who knocked them out of the Carabao Cup at that ground not long ago. So there's scope for those teams dropping points. Again, there's scope for us dropping points because it's a derby and it's Wolves. Typically difficult games. So my thing is, if Liverpool can go and get those 9, it could be that, as I say, when we start getting into the real thick of December, we could be very, very close to Chelsea, if not right by them. Maybe there's a little gap to City or something. So those fixtures look like they could be kind to Liverpool if we can get our business done.
Well, that's the hope, isn't it? Certainly with West Ham, the fixture that kind of stuck up there. You know, if you drop points to these teams, you just hope that you can take something from your rivals and the people that are around you. And also, I think Chelsea and City, I think they're near enough qualified, but they've still got meaningful games in the Champions League, which therefore means that they have to go strong. I know they've got squad
City
depth.
Play PSG.
Yeah, they've got the depth, and that's to the Etihad, isn't it? But also, I know I mentioned this a few times, and I wrote a piece last week of, like, you know, Chelsea drew at home to Burnley and City lost at home to Crystal Palace. Like, these teams can drop points, they can have their off days, and, you know, what teams like West Ham can capitalise on that. Man United, just, there's going to be no manager bounce there at all because they don't have a manager. They've just got the assistant coach that's in there. So I take no positive from that. But you never know. Sometimes you end up watching Soccer Saturday and you go, oh, fucking hell, someone's taking you by surprise then. A bit like Crystal Palace and Burnley, which I've just mentioned there. I have repeated myself a few times, but I think it's important for us to remember that you're getting out there, that teams around us can drop points. You know, where's the focus? You know, other teams can pick up injuries as well. You know, Chelsea have got a few. Look at Man City, the team that they put out on the bench that they had at the weekend as well. It's still strong. It's still a really good side. But also, you know, we focus on our bench and what's all gone wrong for us. Other teams can have off days as well.
I've got a few comments here from the live chat. So we've got Bajan. I think it's Bajan. Pop says here, Klopp will go stronger than most because he'll want to maintain the integrity of the competition, which I think Paul mentioned that on the Umbu show as well.
Balls to that.
Crossbow says, I would play Kelleher, Bradley, Canate, Phillips, Shimakas, Hendo, Morton, Ox, Salah, Origi, Taki. I'm okay with most of that. I want Mo Salah nowhere near this game.
Or John Henderson.
I don't mind Hendo because I think he could do with the minutes.
I'd put Robertson in for Simicast if he's doing that as well.
Maybe, but again, we don't know Robbo is. I don't think you risk Robbo. You can't be 100%.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense to give Endo half like he did with the Joel Matip, Nat Phillips thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing we mentioned yesterday. There's five subs you can use as well. So there might be a massive fear of people looking at the team sheet and going, oh, fucking hell. But Mo Salah might only play 40, 45 minutes.
If Neco Williams was fit, I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't even mind Neco playing on the wing for where Mo Salah was, for example, because I don't care. Like, you win. I don't care. And, and he has done that. He's been doing that job for Wales. But
he did it in the Carabao Cup game, didn't he, for the last 10, 15
Is there anyone who you just do not want on the pitch, Jay? Like we say, but is there anyone you just go, he cannot be on the field?
Fabinho.
Yeah.
Number one for me. Mo Salah.
Yeah.
100%. And Trent, yeah.
I'm going with... And Virgil as well.
Well, of course, yeah. I don't expect him to play anyway.
Alisson, I'm not bothered.
Yeah. I don't expect Virgil to play.
I don't expect him to play, but I wouldn't be fuming if Alisson was in goal.
But
I would.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't live in a world where something happens to him.
Because you've got the Michelin and fear.
Yeah.
That's a new thing.
I like Kelleher. I think Kelleher is brilliant. But... Then you're only one goalkeeper away from having an adrenaline goal and don't want to live that life anymore.
I would start Kelleher, but I'm not going to... Like, For example, if Mo Salah plays, I'd be like, what is going on?
Yeah.
I'm getting Diogo Jota and Michelin vibes all over him, and some fellas just absolutely crunching. Because what we've got to remember is, it's a big game for Porto, and I'm speaking later on the Red Men Plus to a Porto journalist, Portuguese journalist rather, Portuguese-based journalist. He's English. And it's a big game for Porto in that group because Atleti are playing AC Milan at the same time, and one of them are going to drop points if Porto can come beat Liverpool.
Their place
in the group is like they're really in a strong position. There's a chance they could be pretty much qualified depending on how the other game goes as well. I think if AC Milan beat Atletico and Porto beat us, and if Porto beat us, that takes them to eight, so they're thinking it could be job done. So they're going to be up for it. And that's my worry, is that if you've got lads on the pitch who are looking after themselves a little bit, Ross, and you're just not as quite committed to a tackle, which some of our lads, it's only natural that, why would I put my foot in there? And I'm just, you can get hurt.
Yeah. Not even that, when you were talking, I was thinking Porto are going to be bang up for it.
That's what I'm saying, it's a combination of both.
They're flying high. I think they're joint top with Sporting Lisbon in the league, and they're unbeaten, so they're going to be full of confidence. But also, like you said, you know, is it a good time to play Liverpool, and since Liverpool do rotate and they've got a good opportunity to beat us? I'm not going to say like they're a Portuguese Burnley or anything like that, because I don't think they are. But also, if you've got a chance to go in the latter rounds of the Champions League, you give it everything that you've got. You know, they don't really care about if Mo Salah gets a knock or Jordan Henderson or anyone like that. So, and I wouldn't blame them either.
Yeah, a few more comments I'm going to go to here. Sorry, I've got Chris Crosswell said I wouldn't play Matip either. He's having an incredible season, but he's injury prone. I tend to agree.
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't hate a Konate Nat Phillips back too.
No.
Obviously, Joe Gomez is out, isn't he? And then we've got Andy, who says, I would play Keller. It's good to keep his career progress going. Yeah, I tend to agree on that one as well. Going back to the league run then, because we're bookending these games by what we're calling meaningless fixtures, Ross, but those three in the middle, Southampton at home, which last year we won.
Yeah.
We won at Wolves, but we only drew at Everton. So if we want to, obviously, comparing to last season, we obviously, because where we finished in the points total, we need to be much better. The Everton game is the one where you're looking, thinking, there's the other chance to get plus two. The other two have to be wins. You have to win at home in Southampton. You have to go and beat Wolves.
Yeah.
But the Everton one, if you're looking at how Liverpool improved much on their total from last year, plus two is go to Goodison and beat what's essentially a dire Everton team at the minute, who've just got 11, I think they've got a full team out injured. They're in dire straits. How far ahead are you looking to the derby when you're... So you've got Southampton at the weekend and then the derby's midweek. Like, do you expect them to go full strength, bang, bang, Southampton and Everton, or are you going to see a lot... fair few changes for Saints at home, because Klopp tended to do this in the past. Like, there's a random Saturday game where you just see Neco Williams playing at right back, or you see like Konate's dropped in or something, you know what I mean? Or do you see him going bang, bang, bang?
I'd go full strength for the whole lot. You know, there's just too much riding on games. Don't want complacency, and it's not, I know it's not complacency if Klopp does rotation, puts a, like a Neco Williams or someone in there, or Konate, because it happened at Old Trafford and the Reds fell off, and actually he was boss because he's a £36 million defender, so we're all right. We've got squad depth, we can use it. I just want people to be managed, in the sense of I won't play the same 11 each time, but we start getting bodies back, particularly in the midfield. You know, Curtis Jones is coming back, Thiago's come back in, Henderson's come back in, Fabinho's come back, God knows what's going on with Naby Keita. But use those players as much as you can to prepare them for the last stages in December and whatever else we've got going on. Southampton have just lost to Norwich.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So they're not in a great position either. The confidence of that team will be on the floor. We go in toe-to-toe with Chelsea, Man City, and we do it. We've already started doing it for the past 6, 7, 8 weeks of going, you look for Liverpool's result, you watch the game, then what's your next thing? How did Man City get on? How did Chelsea get on?
Yeah.
Just fucking go. Don't worry about anybody else and just put all these teams to bed. Everton's another great one. I think they've just lost... Leon Bailey. Who's the forward that they got? He's been injured for 6 weeks as well. Damari Gray's out.
The whole team's injured.
So, you know, and I was talking to the lads at Toffee TV yesterday and it was like...
It's bad.
It's pretty bad. So, yeah, we've been talking about playing next couple of games next season in the Championship. It's got things that bad at the minute. But, you know, capitalise on that. You know, maybe you can afford to rotate a bit in there, maybe. But, again, I wouldn't. I just... Get as far ahead as you can, get the game done, then make your changes.
I know Ross said before, Jay, about looking elsewhere, but I'll be honest, I am looking elsewhere. I always look who we're playing on a weekend and then who they're playing, and is it a chance for us to close a gap? And I say, Southampton at home is a fixed bank on Liverpool. Liverpool have to win, should be winning, really. So United, Chelsea have Man United. We don't know what that means. If it was all these Man United, it'd be a banker, but who knows what United are.
Where's it at, Old Trafford or?
At Chelsea. And then City have got West Ham at home again. Not easy, but not...
I don't fancy Michael Carrick to tactically outdo.
No, but what I'm saying is, of those three fixtures, in theory, Liverpool got the easiest. Again, it's footy's not played on paper and blah blah blah. Cliche, insert random cliche here, but that is the chance, isn't it? If there's opportunities, that it's feasible that those two can drop points. Liverpool just have to get the business now, Southampton. Yeah. And my thinking for the Porto team is, you pick your Southampton team and then you work backwards from that. I want this team at playing Southampton to get 3 points. How can I make sure they are all 100%, whether it means to get an hour, half an hour, don't play a game, whatever. Is that how you see it as well?
100%, mate. I mean, are we all playing at 3 o'clock that week?
Pretty much. No, just Man United, Chelsea on telly.
Right, okay. So you're going to have that worry, aren't you, of like playing in the middle and you go, right, okay, well, they've dropped points and now we need to capitalise. Is that extra pressure? Or if they don't, it's like, right, we need to play catch up again. So there'll be a gap at some point during the day and we'll be shitting ourselves.
Yeah.
But I completely agree with what you said, Thirsty. You play it backwards like a snooker game.
We play we're the first game. So we're 3 o'clock Saturday. So as I was saying, lay the marker down. So City play West Ham on the Sunday at 2 o'clock. Man United, Chelsea Sunday at 4:30. So like I say,
don't like 3 o'clock kickoffs. That's the thing that concerns me. And I'm not sure what was the case with Brighton. Obviously the performance wasn't there. And maybe credit Brighton a little bit, but it's like
a little bit flat.
Yeah. It's a bit routine. That's what concerns me. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and especially with Southampton, you know, get to a fast start. You know, like I said before, the confidence is on the floor. Just go and bully them because that's what we should do. And if you've rested players for Porto, you should have players that are bang up for it. And getting players back as well, you know, it's healthy competition there. Chamberlain's performances have been a pleasant surprise, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he plays on Saturday, does he? Is he suspended?
Who's this?
Ox.
Is he?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
I may have just made that up. But also, you know, if he doesn't perform in these games, you know, where's his game time going to come? So you want that competition to kind of be there. You only get that by putting performances in. So whoever plays Southampton, put performance in.
The last one I come to on the Porto game, Jay, before we move on to Sadio Mane chat, is Curtis Jones put a cryptic clue on Twitter. I've seen it. So it was him playing against Porto and it was just an hourglass. Now, we've been told he was out for weeks and stuff, but I suppose this is where the Porto game's good for some people. Like, it's a de facto pre-season game for some. So if there is someone who's been on a long-term injury layoff who needs an hour or needs half an hour, because we've got 5 subs, again, we don't know the status of Curtis Jones. James Milner was close to the return.
If he's got an eye patch, just play him still.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
I'm all right,
play him with one eye, it's fine. Yeah. James Milner looked like he was the closest of the others to come back as well. Naby Keita was pretty close as well. I suppose the benefit of a meaningless game is you could give people a run out, effectively give them a run before Southampton, so they're not getting thrown straight back in. They might have had half an hour of footy under the belt and then that might give them a better chance of being a starter at Saints.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'd love to see Milner back for this. I think this game against Porto screams Milner if he can make it. I think that's definitely one of the, you know, more level headed people that we need on the pitch for that type of game. Because he will drag you over the line for 3 points if it gets to that. But yeah, it's all about getting the minutes in, isn't it? But the risk I don't want is, because of these players that are injury prone, going back in for half an hour and then they pick up another knock and then you've got another problem.
Yeah, I suppose
that's my only worry.
They've got to be signed off. They've got to be
signed off.
You don't want them going into Southampton and starting a game and then getting dragged off after 15 minutes. Yeah. You need to know that that's not going to happen. I think that's the thing. If you can get half an hour, 45 minutes in the legs, which 5 subs can give you, if you really wanted to, you could plan your game plan to make 3 subs at half time, knowing you've still got 2 for the second half. You could say, Curtis, Jimmy, Naby, you're having 45. Hendo, you're playing the second half. You know, it adds that flexibility. I think that's the thing.
We've earned that right as well. We've done really well. Do you know what I mean? And usually you do those sorts of things for League Cup games, don't you? But we've progressed in that now, and that's getting a little bit more serious now, that competition, where you're not going to see that Leicester game as a bit of a break now, are you? So we've earned the right to play around in these last 2 games, and we should play around.
Yeah, I'm also a massive believer of the fact of not the integrity of the game or throw in a game, but also we don't win that game, then Porto's chances of going through means Atletico Madrid aren't. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, no, listen, mate, at the end of the day, I get the comment before about the integrity of the competition. The integrity of the competition isn't Liverpool's problem. I wonder how much Jürgen thinks about that. I don't know. I
don't think he likes other people doing it, but also with the shoes that he's a foot, fuck him.
Yeah, I think the plan, and also I think the fact that you've got to register, you can't just play the under-18s because you've got a registered squad. Yeah. You've got to literally pick enough players to play. I suppose, and again, I think it's more, he's in between. I remember, was it Porto a few years ago when we beat them 5-0 away and then we played them at home?
Yeah, it was nil-nil.
And he brought Mo Salah on. I was like, whoa! Yeah, yeah. And he said it was to keep his rhythm up.
Yeah.
So Pardon me. If he thinks Mo Salah's a rhythm player, he might give him 20. Like, who knows? We'll see.
He always wants a goal, doesn't he? He wants to top every chart. So
yeah, he's a very greedy man. In a very
love it.
In a very
driven man, is what I'd say.
No, well, both. Either or, okay. Sell it, whatever it is, what it is. Right, we're gonna go and chat about Sadio Mane and his new contract or lack of one in a minute. Everyone's been discussing Mo Salah and his contract, but Sadio Mane's in a very similar boat. And Neil Jones of Goal wrote a very good article that we're gonna speak about in a minute. But first, you may have noticed if you are watching the YouTube channel this way. We're all wearing our brand new Christmas sweatshirt. So I've got a Klopp one, Ross has got Feliz Navidad, and Jay's got the 5-goal wins, Mo Salah. There's very limited time to get your orders in before Christmas if you want guaranteed order. So have a little watch of this, and when you come back, we'll give you full information about how and when you need to get your orders done. I'd highly recommend you do so as well. Watch this. So there we go. They are the whole collection of our Christmas sweatshirts, fantastically modelled by the very handsome Paul Machen. I'm not just saying that because he's my boss and I'm sucking up to him a little bit. He is quite a handsome man in real life as well. So if you want to order one, guys, and get your orders in, here's the important information you need to know. International orders need to be in by midnight on the 24th, which our time recording is tomorrow. That's UK time. If you need to be in by the 24th on midnight if you're international. If you're a UK-based viewer or listener, December 10th, your order must be in before then. Otherwise, you won't get it before Christmas. There's a very unlikely chance.
All products, books, DVDs, mugs, beer mats.
Anything from our merch shop. If you're looking to get someone a Christmas gift, I say to guarantee the Christmas deliveries, you need to be ordered by the 24th if you're not in the UK, and if you are in the UK, the 10th of December. Right, guys, let's move on then. Sadio Mane's contract. The Mo Salah contract has been hanging over our heads. I'd done a play rating show and I literally was screaming down the lens to get Mo Salah's contract signed on the off chance that anyone who remotely is connected to Liverpool was working.
Julian was watching.
In case Julian, John, Linda, Mike, any of them. What's the other one called? Who missed off there?
Tom.
Good old Tom. But this, in the same situation is Sadio Mane's contract. And I'm going to bring up an article by Neil Jones here from Goal. He says, there's an elephant in the room here. For months, we've talked and wondered and written about Mo Salah's contract and whether Liverpool will offer him a big money extension. And yet Mane is in pretty much the same position. He's 29 years old. He's about to enter the final 18 months of his deal. And he too would like to remain on Merseyside. And he too would like recognition for years of stellar service and a salary befitting one of the world's top players. Goes on to, you know, his agent's a bit less active on social media than Salah's, and maybe that's why we're not getting talked about, etc., etc., etc. Here's the thing, Ross, we are all very much focused on the Mo Salah contract, and rightly so, he's the best player in the world, we need to tie him down. But the other fella is on the exact same position.
There's a few of them, isn't there? I know it's not the same player, but Ox, Naby, Bobby, Mane,
there's a lot.
All in the same year expiry.
But I mean, of those, the importance level is, you would consider, obviously Mo Salah's probably priority one, and you'd guess Sadio Mane's 1B. Like, they're very, very
good. I think there's a debate for Bobby there, to be honest.
Potentially, there's a lot going on. Like, the age thing, Jay, and this is my question to you first, and it's a killer. I do apologise in advance. Mane's 29, about to turn 30 in April. Salah's 29, turns 30 in June. Like, can you tie two 30-year-old players down? Can you commit the salaries that they're both going to want, the length of contract they're both going to want? Can you do that with say 30-year-old players? Granted, look at that. Probably two top scorers in the Premier League right now are those two.
Yeah.
But the age thing, is that a worry at all? If you're an FSU, you just go, you know what, we have to do it.
Yeah, if it was me, you just have to do it. I think this day and age now, the way sports science is, players are playing longer. Yep. I don't think that over 30
dead.
Do you know what I mean? It doesn't count anymore. I mean, I'm glad it doesn't, to be honest, as a 36-year-old man. Yeah. You know, we're all in our 30s. We'd be like, right, that's it, game over. But look at James Milner, look what he's doing. Yes, he's not on the same level of player, but look at what Zlatan's doing. Look at what Ronaldo's doing. You're playing a lot longer these days, and I think these players can. And it's the fear of the unknown for me. You are going to command an amazing fee for either of those players if you sold them, 100%. From a personal level, from them, where are they going to go? There's no one bigger than Liverpool right now. Where are you going to go and play better football? Have better chance of winning the bigger trophies? Where are you going to go? You're not going to Spain. You're not leaving. So they're sort of stuck in a rut now going, well, don't I want to play in France? I don't want to play in Spain. So I want to stay here. So give me the money. So for me, give them the money. Forget about Mbappe and Haaland and all that. Just stick to what we know. It works. These guys are fit as a fiddle, they'll play.
The flip side, Ross, again, the age thing, who knows? Like FSG, we always used to think, oh, they're going to be smart with contracts, they're going to do this, this and this. They signed Jordan Henderson down, who's in his 30s, or of a similar age, to a longer-term deal. You look at Mohamed Salah, and I don't think at age 32, Mohamed Salah looks like he's going to be any less fit or any less motivation to be Mohamed Salah. James writes a reference, look what Leo Messi's doing in his 30s, look what Cristiano Ronaldo's doing. Even, I mean, Zlatan's another one, not as good, but...
Yeah.
There's players 35, 36, 37 who are playing consistent Premier League footy. Thiago Silva the other day was magnificent for Chelsea and he can't move, but he was still absolutely brilliant, 37 I think he is. Do we need to reconsider, do Liverpool need to consider, you have to get these guys done, and can you afford and should you tie both of these players down?
I think you have to balance the business side of things with the numbers that they're and their output on the team still. You know, Mane, I think he's second highest scorer in the Premier League currently, isn't he? So that suggests he's not really on the decline. I think the people's perception of Sadio Mane and what happened last season, they're quick to write him off. I think a lot of people were writing him off in the first half against Arsenal. You know, and I know he gave the ball away a lot, but, you know, he's still impactful. Marry that with what's out there and what's it going to cost you and what's it going to spend. You know, obviously Haaland's knocking about his name that you mentioned there, but also 75 mil buyout clause, but what's his contract going to be? There's talk he's going to be the first £1 million player. Plus the sign on fee, plus his agent's a bit of a dick. You know, all these things that kind of come into it. It's not as easy as we think. Sadio Mane, I believe he might have been sold if COVID hadn't fucked everything. I think of the three, I think if the right offer came in, and this still depends on probably next season signing his contract in, if an offer comes in next summer and clubs have got the money back and someone puts in a reasonable offer, maybe that's something that Liverpool will consider. And it's probably the same for Bobby Firmino as well, and kind of weigh up the two.
You've got to start planning for the future at some point, haven't you? That's got to creep in your mind.
Yeah, you can't just
keep
going. I know Carrick did that thing a couple. Was it last year when he was talking about Barcelona and them changing their front three kind of every so often? It's like, it's not what we probably want to do, but also what's out there is what out there better than what you've got. It gets sticking to what you know. But at some point, you have to change these things and consider what's best. Can you afford to give Mohamed Salah £300,000 a week and then give someone else, you know, of similar or just less? You know, you got to plan for all these things.
So on that though, the flip side that is, we've got one Jota's that a succession to somebody. Somebody Jota's there, he is in it. So if you sell if you sell either one or both, or let one or both go, the flip side is you are bringing someone in. You're not going to get someone as good. It's very, very. Who are you going to get? You're relying on trying to find two more Diogo Jota's. You were on less money and come in and have a big impact. And that's
Jared Bowen.
That's hard to do. Yeah, because for every Jota, you might get a Taki.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Again, I'm not disparaging Taki Minamino, but I am a little bit, but he hasn't exactly come in and set the world alight.
Yeah, exactly.
He might still come good, but 18 months in or whatever, 2 years in, nearly, and nothing. Yeah. So that's the risk, isn't it, Jay, in that? And the point here, actually, I'm going to move onto it, and it was another Ross, I think it was, Jerry says, look how fit they are, hardly any injuries, all the nous experience and hunger, FSG need to break the mould to back them. And then I think it's Bejan, apologies if I'm pronouncing that wrong, he says, you have to keep them because replacing them will cost you way more than the full value of their contract extension. So a transfer fee and a salary for this new guy, and I hope that if you get 75% of the play, you've done all right. There's so many gambles there where the obvious no-risk players, keep them, see if you can keep them till the 33, 34, hope that they don't decline. And if they do decline in that last year, so what? Like you've probably still got three good years out of them before they're on the wind down. I suppose that's that's me, not a business thinking, that's me Liverpool support and Steve thinking.
Yeah, exactly. But like we said, you've got to start thinking about the future at one point. So yeah, I'm sat here going, tie them both down because I want both of them to stay. But also in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I'm still going to be supporting Liverpool in the next 10 years. Who's the next players in that front three? And I'm thinking, right, so Jude Bellingham is available and all that, but again, he's going to command the fee and all that. I just think, I'm glad it's not my job to sort this crap out. I really am. Because I'm glad I just enjoy the footy. But there is going to come to a point, whether it's the end of this season, where you've got to think, what do we do? Yeah. But right now, as I'm sat here, where I don't, the unknown is the unknown, I want them both tied down because they're so vital to our team.
I agree, but and to that point, which was similar to one that I made before, in buying someone else normally means that you get someone who's younger and you've got longevity in that. So you're talking about a transfer fee and whatever else they command, but what's that over 10 years?
Yeah, good point. Do
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And similar stuff like with the Haaland stuff, you know, Man City probably have chipped off Harry Kane now. What's the point of spending £100 million on someone who can't score unless it's Albania or San Marino, or we can get Haaland for less money? Okay, the wages might be through the roof. They can afford it, but we're going to have Haaland for 10 years.
Yeah,
or Harry Kane with his ankles to go and spend. Do you know what I mean? It's
cross. But let's talk about replacements. Adeyemi or Sarr would be good replacements. And that's the level of play you're looking at, Jay. Both very good young players, but they are good young players. You're buying a lad from Salzburg and a lad from Watford to replace Sadio.
Dennis from Watford's pretty good.
He's a very good player as well.
Like
but to replace Mo Salah and Sadio Mane, it just feels like, again, it's a gamble. Like, Liverpool aren't going to be better for that.
No.
They might have more money in the pockets, but they're not going to be a better football team. And that's the balance, isn't it, between the business side and the...
It's rolling the dice and landing on go-back two spaces because that's what you'll think. And that's no disrespect to them players. It's just where we've gone in 10 years to where we are now at a level of, like, consistently one of the best teams in the world for the last 4 or 5 years, you're going to lose that. And that's something I shit myself and I don't want to go back to those darker times where it's a risk.
Can you envisage a scenario, Ross, where it's going to be one or the other? Because I hope I'm wrong, and I hope Liverpool and FSG don't do this, because these are two of the Liverpool's greatest players. And I mean that, like, we're doing a top 50 Premier League players, for example, and I'm pretty certain that both of these two lads are going to be in the top 15, 20 lads. We'll find out 24th and 25th of December, I think, that Joe's going out. But I'm pretty sure they're going to be very high. These are Liverpool modern-day legends. If you're having to pick and choose... Listen, I think we'd all agree Mo Salah would have to win, and that's no disrespect to Sadio, but I don't want to pick and choose. I just don't understand, you have to get done, and I get the age thing, but and with the owner, I think the owners have to change it personally. Like, they have to get the contracts done.
Yeah, but they've done that with Jordan Henderson, but then didn't do it with Gini Wijnaldum. Maybe that was a case of one or the other. I know Klopp put his foot down with Jordan Henderson, maybe he attempted to do that with Gini Wijnaldum as well. Again, it depends what Klopp wants. It ties in with the sports science stuff, what Jay was saying before. If they believe they can get another 3 to 4 years out of Sadio Mane, then sound. But I just think the business side, rightly or wrongly, and again, it's not our problem, and maybe it's a criticism of the owners. But I also kind of understand it, and I don't know why they've done it with Jordan Henderson because of his injury record. Why give someone a massive contract at that age you get, but also you're running the risk, and I know every contract and every transfer is a gamble. What's to say Sadio Mane doesn't just completely decline in 2 years' time? You tied him down to, you know, like we did with Adam Lallana. Like, that was a bit daft.
It can't hear, but the flip side is then, that's the gamble, that's what I'm talking about, is that... What if he doesn't?
But that can happen with a new signing. You can buy a new signing. You can get.
I was about to say, you could bring someone in and he could just be absolute. He could be injured all the time. And again, it could be.
I'm getting Akolani memories again now. Do you know what I mean?
Someone referenced before, like, you know, maybe it was a bit harsh on Taki Minamino. I wasn't saying Taki's not great. He might not have been. But we're 2 years into the Taki experience and he hasn't played. So, yeah, you can.
Scored at the weekend.
My point is. Like it is a gamble. Yeah. Like, you don't know what you're not.
That's a low risk gamble. $7 million.
That's the thing. It's 7 million. Gamble, you can't replace Mo Salah. Imagine if you sell Mo Salah for 100 million plus, and then replace them with a 10 million kid from
Suarez, Ricky Lambert. That, you know what I mean? That's not a disrespect to Ricky Lambert, but that's what happened, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was
Andy Carroll, wasn't it?
No, when we sold Suarez.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Suarez was Carroll. Suarez was Balotelli.
Suarez and Carroll was Torres, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But, transfer gambles there.
Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? But that's a perfect example of 13, 14, Suarez, Sturridge, Sterling, great forward line, and then the following year it's Ricky Lambert, Sturridge is injured. It was horrible. Mm. And we went backwards, and you didn't think we would. We thought we were going to make that next step, and I just don't want to do that again.
I back our recruitment team to not do that again, because I think they've learned, and obviously the early stages of the ownership as well,
that's true,
of doing that, and I think they held back a lot. Because they were spending big fees on crap players, whereas now I don't think we do that. I know we've got analysts and Michael Edwards and Julian Ward, obviously in the mould there now, and with Mike Gordon and everybody else who's part of that setup and that team, I'd back us to to have at least done some research into players, or, you know, just kind of dipped in the toes of like, oh, who's available, you know, what you think. You know, we had a little thing with Saar a season or two ago, and against a lot of stuff has been completely wrecked by COVID, not being able to shift players. Can you shift Divock Origi? Does that buy you someone money you can give out to wages and all that stuff and sort your structure out? It's, you know, there's a lot of variables to consider, isn't there? It's not just give him his money, yeah, and it's fucking done.
I suppose the flip side is, Jay, in a pie in the sky world, we'd all accept that if it was right, we're going to let Sadio leave, but here's Erling Haaland. Or is Kylian Mbappe. Like, I'd be like, you know what? We love Sadio, but yeah, 29, 30-year-old, and we're replacing him with the next big thing.
Yeah.
And that's what the talk is. There's some talk on the chat, there's some talk on Haaland. I get it. I just never see Liverpool dropping that amount. That type of salary, I mean, maybe they should, because you're getting world-class footballers, and yeah, you're going to have them for 5 years, and they're all more than likely going to be absolute worldies. Both of them are. Yeah. They're already two of the best forwards in the world, if not the two best.
Maybe that's something that Klopp needs to say, because if, I mean, assuming we're going to keep these players past Klopp's era, you know, the whole 2024 thing, it's a case of, right, if you could give us that scenario, stay and say, right, well, when they leave, we're going to bring in one of the greatest players in the world. You're going to accept it. You'll say, yes, sound. But maybe that's what our owners need to do, is just break the mold and go, do you know what? We've built this club now to a level where they are, they can dominate world and European football. Let's just really put and just go, there you go. There's the world-class player you wanted.
And those two, it's a unique situation, because Kylian Mbappe's free. Listen, we think he's going to Real Madrid. Erling Haaland.
Oh, they got money, by the way. I thought they were fucking skint.
Real Madrid, they find ways.
Yeah.
Find
the government love
the king
down, Madrid, season, don't they?
Yeah. Down the side of Florentino's couch. And then...
It's a big couch.
It is a pretty big couch. There's plenty of couches in his gaff. And then also Dortmund, they've got the situation with Haaland where it's a release clause. That's a fee. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but yeah, Mane will still command a fee.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could sell Mane for more than Haaland's going to cost, just in terms of transfer fee.
Maybe Mane goes to Dortmund.
Do a little swap.
Do a little swap in there, and then we'll get Jude Bellingham. Then you sign Bobby to a new contract and then put Bobby in the eight.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, there's a...
It's an interesting scenario.
Move over, Julian Ward. I've got it nailed.
But it is weird, though, to wrap up. We haven't spoken on Mane. It's all been Salah.
Yeah.
And this is the point that Neil was making. And we've got Neil Jones coming in on Thursday for our Journal Insight Extra show, streaming on Redmen Plus. He's here each and every Thursday to discuss the biggest topics around Liverpool. And he'll be in this Thursday with Paul. And I'm sure Paul will ask for more information on where this has come from and why he's decided to write it at this time, because I don't think it's ever just coincidence. Mm. There's usually reasons why journalists put this kind of stuff out there, Ross. But it has been the Mo Salah show for the last 6 months.
Because he's the best player in the world.
No, and I get it, but there's been no mention of Sadio. Like, I'll be honest, I wasn't even sure his contract was up. I didn't even know this. Yeah. And it's my job, I should have known that, so more fool me. But it looks like maybe we maybe took our eye off the wall. Liverpool probably haven't. Do you think that this is tying into the Salah thing? Like, we know we've got to pay both of them. What do we pay one compared to the other? Do we have to pay them the same? If you give Salah X, Wang, does that mean you've got to give Mane Y? Do you think within the halls of Julian Ward / Michael Edwards' office now, I don't even if they're sharing the room or whatever, do you think that's the conversation that's happening? Like, well, if we give Mo that contract on that, what does that mean we have to give Sadio? Do you think they are intertwined?
No, I don't. I think
that was a big question for me for you to just say no. I was hoping you'd say it's fine.
No, because and it shouldn't be. You know, give contracts out to people that work for you based on what someone else is getting there. You know, it's on performance, potential, again, output and numbers. There's a reason why Mo Salah's been talked about. And, you know, I said he is the best player in world football. Look at his numbers that he's put. He's 18 goal contributions in the league in 12 games. His potential, the way that he's playing, the way that he's adapted his game, I think is phenomenal. And that's not a discredit to Sadio Mane, because I said before, the people that said he was done last season, I don't think he was. He's played a hell of a lot of football. I think he just needs to adapt his game a little bit more, because he loves that stop and go. But I think that's hard when there's two banks of four behind him. He can't play his natural game. He has really good spells. He's frustrating to watch, but he's been frustrating to watch since he got here. Mm. Do you know what I mean? That's Sadio Mane's game, you know, as much as we hate it. He has improved. And again, his numbers this season have been really good. So I don't think he should be tied in together. And I don't think Sadio Mane should be asking for the same amount as Mohamed Salah, and that's not a discredit to Sadio Mane. And, you know, and all the stuff with Mohamed Salah as well, of all the other stuff that, you know, that comes with being a world superstar, do you know what I mean? And what that brings you. Do you mean, as much as we don't think about it, I think the business owners do. I'm not saying don't give someone a contract just because they're a big star. Give him a contract because he's the best player in the world and because he's a big star. Whereas Sadio Mane, I still think he deserves a new contract, but I won't be giving him the same as Mohamed Salah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Liverpool play all that one out there.
Give him the same contract, actually, and say, have a goal bonus.
both the exact same though, lads. Yeah, group package 2-for-1. We'll, yeah. We've got basically, lads, we've got $1 million a week or $750,000 a week. You decide how you split it between you and just see how they maybe a bit of a fight.
50 grand, Nicole. There you go.
Probably not more than that. I'm guessing not more than that now. Anyway, but we leave that one there, lads. Again, thanks very much for watching. In fact, guys, first of all, thanks very much for joining me. Mm-hmm. So, thanks everyone at home for watching and for listening. Like I say, for those who are watching on the YouTube channel, Porto game on Wednesday, we've got our live watch along, which goes live about 15 minutes before kickoff. An hour before that, we are live with our team news reaction.
Hour and a quarter. Champions League.
Champions League, yeah. Kickoff time's weird. Basically, when the team is announced, we'll go live to react to it. And we're hoping it's a very youthful-looking Liverpool side. Like I say, if you are interested in more of this type of content and the content we create, please do consider checking out our streaming service, Redmen Plus. Go over to the website now, enter the code Redmen Plus in all capitals, and you'll get a free month. Won't cost you a penny. Have a little look around, play with it. Go back and watch the Hendo 10 documentaries and everything we do. I'm sure you'll really enjoy it, and it won't cost you a penny. Why not even give it a go? You've got 1 week before that code expires, by the way, so get that in there. Ross, Jay, pleasure, and everyone, we'll see you all next time tomorrow. Talk to you later.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.